This is Ali Ciardo, and this is Photo Field Notes, stories and inspiration from professional photographers. My interview today is with Mikkel Milrad from Mikkel Page Photography. I met Mikkel at WPPI in 2011, and we've been in touch pretty much ever since. It's been really fun to watch her grow as a photographer and business owner and make some huge leaps of faith, including some pretty big moves to new places. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you can see photos, show notes, and other resources for photographers at photofieldnotes.com. This is Ali Ciardo, and I'm here with Mikkel Milrad from Mikkel Page Photography. And Mikkel and I actually met, I don't even know, what was it, 2011, when we blindly shared a room together in Vegas for WPPI. And we've been in touch ever since. I've seen her a few times in New York and, you know, I was just kind of checking in here and there to see how we're doing. So I thought it would be fun to have Mikkel on to tell her story today. So Mikkel, let's start from the beginning. Let's hear your story.
Yeah. So I'm so excited that you asked me to be on, and I totally appreciate thinking of me, and I support anything you do. So I grew up in New York, but fast forwarding a bunch. I went to school in Maryland, actually, for landscape architecture. And I ended up moving to Florida after I graduated to work in theme park design, which was completely a dream come true. All throughout growing up, throughout high school especially, I scrapbooked, which sounds super...
I did it too.
Urban mom, yeah. Okay, good. But years later, I would give it all up to live in the city. But yeah, I scrapbooked a lot. And actually wanting to take better photos came out of scrapbooking. I was on all these forums and saw all these amazing like digital scrapbooking layouts, and people would take the most amazing photos. And I had a really good eye for it. So it got to the point that my camera was the only thing limiting me. Now, I'm not one of those people who say, if you get a good camera, you can be a good photographer, because that really annoys me. But if you want certain effects, like the cool bokeh, which I still think is cool even years after being a photographer, you know, you need a better camera. So, you know, while I was working in theme park design and had my scrapbooking hobby on the side, I went to Ritz Camera, which I actually was talking to somebody last night, another photographer, who said, I got my first camera at Ritz Camera. And I said, oh my gosh, me too.
So did you just walk in and you were like, what do I need?
Yeah, so pretty much. Like, and, you know, I shoot Nikon. And the reason is, truthfully, because I was open to Canon and Nikon when we went into Ritz Camera. And I felt it in my hands. And Nikon just felt better to me in my small, tiny hands. And it still does. And I still hear people that say, oh, yeah, I chose this because it felt better in my hands. So, like, you know, for every pro for Nikon, there's a pro for Canon and vice versa with a con. But I really just went with Nikon because it felt better in my hands.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I have to admit that now I have ordered cameras that I haven't even felt in my hands, which maybe is so bad. But, you know, I'll read every technical spec and review and go off of that. But you're right. You're holding this thing for so long. It needs to feel good in your hands.
Yeah.
So that's a good one to go
now with. That you say that, actually, though, like, I have ordered other camera bodies, but they've always been Nikon and like some sort of like version of what I had. But that's a good point. Because if I order another one,
it could happen.
Something to ponder. Yeah.
All right. So where'd you go from there? How did you?
Kit. Yeah. So we bought a little kit, and like, I didn't know anything about lenses or anything. And then like, I still have a friend that I talk to once in a while from Florida, and I didn't use the camera for a really long time because I think I was just intimidated, and I tend to be a really busy person and like, didn't make it a priority to learn the camera, and I didn't buy the camera just to put it on auto, so I didn't use it. But one day my friend Matt said, hey, let's just go out in Celebration in Orlando, Florida. We lived in near Celebration, Florida, which is the town that Disney built. And we just went out, and like, he showed me how to shoot on manual, and like, that was it. Like, I never put it on any other setting since then. Actually, I've been doing this for years, but I went to San Francisco 2 weekends ago for a wedding, and I stayed with a photographer friend out there, and he showed me how to shoot on aperture priority, which like isn't hard to do, but I was like, I just always shoot on manual.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, so you never were shooting on aperture? Because I learned on aperture first, and then from there moved into manual. So you just jumped right on in.
I just jumped in. Yeah, I just totally jumped into manual. So it's so interesting. Yeah, I think most people learn on aperture priority.
Oh, yeah. I'll still shoot on aperture priority in certain settings, like during weddings when things are changing a lot. I'll still shoot on aperture priority if it's like an outdoor middle-of-the-day wedding.
I'm glad I know about it because it's totally, you know, it's such a good application in those situations, like you said. But I guess I just never, I don't know. So after Matt taught me in manual, like I just, my camera was in manual and I always had it on me. So from there, I kind of like became the like unofficial photo documentation person for the project I was working on. So at that point, I worked at Universal Creative, which is the team that designs and builds and manages the building of a lot, most if not all projects at Universal. So that's, for us, it was Universal Parks and Resorts in Orlando. So if they're building a new hotel, Universal Creative is working on it. If they're building a new part of the park, Universal is working on it. So I worked for Universal Creative, and we were working on the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Which is so cool.
So effing cool.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. It's such a dream come true. And I had to photograph some things to submit to be approved. Oh my God, it's like totally a tangent, but it's kind of cool. So you had to submit photos with certain things for approval by Warner Brothers, who owns the intellectual property. So I would be asked to take photos. So I think a conversation must have happened, I don't even remember, that I would go out every week and take update photos. So like unofficially, I was like the photo documentation person.
So you were basically not like a professional photographer at all in the sense that you are, but that was part of your job at that point.
Right. Yeah. Right. Nice. Right. And I like had the best camera on the team. And I got, they don't even make it anymore. I had a Nikon D80. So like, we're not talking like a Nikon D4 here. Like I had a D80. So, but it was better than like what most people had.
Right. And you still had, at this point, you had the kit lens too that came with it.
Yeah, so I had like an 18-135, which I still have. And I have to say, like, even though it's a DX, so if somebody's listening and doesn't know, obviously, a DX is cropped, and I only shoot on full frame. So when you put a DX lens on a full frame camera, you see a little square, almost like a frame of where it's taking it. But I have to say, like, if I'm like throwing a lens in a bag to like go to a restaurant and I just want to take a photo of my food,
that's
and, like,
the
lighting's good. Like, I'll throw the 18-1. I still have it because it's, like, actually a pretty good lens to, like, travel with and not care about.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Nice.
So, yeah, so I have the 18-135, like, huge range. And, yeah, I just started doing photos. And then, like, I remember thinking, like, I really love this and started reaching out to people to second shoot weddings in Florida because I used to want to be in the wedding industry, like, very badly. I used to want to be an event planner, and I had a really bad internship experience with a huge party planner in Manhattan after my freshman year of college, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So that's, like, kind of where I changed paths. But here I am, back doing wedding.
Yeah, so I didn't know that you had experience in the wedding industry in a different place. That's funny. So you started second shooting in Florida. So did you just cold call somebody, or did you build a community, get into the community there?
Gosh, I wish I remembered more specifically how, because I like, there were a couple weddings I distinctly remember second shooting. Okay. I was on the B school.
Ah, okay.
Chris Becker ran this B school, and that might be how we ended up being roommates at WPPI.
That is how we ended up being roommates at WPPI. That's right.
Okay. So I wonder if I was second shooting through the B school. That could be. I mean, the B school doesn't exist anymore, but I have to say, like, it taught me so much, even just because it was like a private forum. And the reason that he charged people to be in it was not because he needed to make money, which, you know, you have to make money to run a website, but because he wanted to make sure that everybody was serious about photography and legitimately had a photography website.
Right. And now, you know, there are so many Facebook private groups where people can ask questions and share things. So there are still communities like that. Well, a ton of different places, communities like that. But yeah, I think those have been really helpful for me too, things like that. So you found people through there and started second shooting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's got to be how it happened because I'm like thinking of one person in particular I second shot for that I would not know any other way. like, there's no connection to this person. So, yeah.
And then where did it go from there? Because I know you ended up moving back to New York. Did you, you were still, when you moved to New York, you were working for, you were working as a photo retoucher. How did you, first of all, how did you go from,
yeah,
how did you go from landscape architecture to photo retouching when you moved back to New York?
Yeah, so that's a good question that I often ask myself.
Right.
So, I mean, I never used my landscape architecture degree as a licensed landscape architect, which is a different story. You know, you have to get licensed to do that, and it's a huge test. And why I majored in landscape architecture was because it was artistic, and I didn't have to take tests. We did projects. I don't test well. So, yeah, and, like, when somebody wants to major in art, even photography, someone will be like, and what do you plan on doing with that? You know, like, your mom and your mom's friends will be like, and what are you doing with that? So I thought landscape architecture was, like, a safer path, I guess. But I basically, when I was on the project team for The Wizarding World of Harry Potter, I was kind of, like, in between the technical and creative side, which was really good. So, like, it was sort of, like, a slow transition that, like, then I was on the creative team, and then, like, when the project is finished, it's, like, a construction project. It's over. So, like, I'll spare you the details. But basically, you wait for another project to start. And there was, like, really nothing going on. Now there's a ton of stuff going on. But at the time, like, we were kind of waiting for some projects to be approved. And I was really into wedding photography. And I've been blogging ever since my scrapbooking days because I was a digital scrapbook supplies designer. Oh, my God, that sounds so dorky. There's probably conventions for that.
So you were just blogging your personal stuff then.
Yeah, so I blogged scrapbooking stuff and personal stuff. So I just kind of, like, transitioned into a wedding blog slowly. So it all kind of, like, accelerated sort of, like, at the same time. Like, sort of as the project was winding down at Universal, this was kind of just, like, picking up speed. And I just knew more people in New York that were getting married because they were around the marrying age. And I just had a bigger net for word of mouth. And I just knew that if I wanted to really pursue wedding photography, I'd have to try to move into that area that I knew the most people. I mean, it depends. Like, if you're from Arizona and you know the most people in Phoenix getting married and you really want to do it, like, move back to Phoenix. So I think that was, like, a really big thing for me that I picked up, and I quit my job at Universal with tears in my eyes. I told my boss I was leaving. And I'll never forget, the president at Universal Creative said, you picked a hell of a time to move back to New York because it was the fall. And that was, like, one of the worst winters in years,
We
wouldn't know until it happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was the winter of 2010.
Yeah, good timing on that one. Yeah,
yeah,
wait a minute, and so, wedding season is not, so it, was it because you had gotten a job too that was going to kind of, that timing just worked out to move to New York? Because obviously wedding season is not, like, getting into full swing as winter is kicking off.
No, it's not, you're right.
So what were you thinking?
What was I thinking? But people do get engaged in the fall more often because of all the holidays and stuff. And on top, and concurrently, I actually, to throw another wrench into the mix, I also was very into cake decorating at the time, and I actually was one of the finalists for consideration for the spinoff Cake Boss show.
I didn't even know this, and I've known you for years.
Oh, yeah. I used to do cake decorating. I'm, like, totally self-taught, and, like, people from, like, that I work with at Universal and stuff would order cakes for me. I, like, never had a shop to do it. But, yeah, I, like, did cake decorating, and people would order, like, those really pretty sugar cookies that are, like, professionally iced and everything. So I did that on the side. So, like, there is another forum for that, cakecentral.com. And I guess somehow I found out that they were, like, casting for this show. I think it's called The Next Great Baker. I think they still do it. But, yeah, I auditioned, and I ended up getting into, like, the top 20. They picked 12. I didn't get chosen, but I had to be back in New York for filming at a certain time. It actually is filmed in Hoboken, New Jersey, where Buddy Valastro's cake shop is, TMI now. But, yeah, so the reason I moved back at that time was because, like, it all sort of happened at once. Like, it was a good time for me to leave Universal, and it was a good time. People, you know, I thought people would be getting engaged very soon, and I had to be back in New York this time anyway if I was going to be on the show. I wasn't on the show, but.
But okay, so that was kind of what moved you there. So when you got there, though, did you start right into the job, or did you get there and kind of say, okay, let's figure out what's going to happen next?
Yeah, so I've never before quit a job and been like, let's find out what happens. I'm from Long Island. Like, you don't do that. If you're raised by like a middle class American parents, like, you go to college, then you get a job, and like, you don't really go rogue. So it's kind of liberating and kind of scary. I moved back in with my parents. I have like a lot of credit card debt, which is not because I go shopping all the time. It's just because when you're in college, you rack up credit card debt and think, I'll get such a good job when I graduate that I'll be able to pay this all off. And that's not what happens. So, and I also like was not banking at Universal, to put it lightly. So, I moved in with my parents, which was very interesting at 28. And I lived there for a year. I didn't have a plan, to answer your question. So Rent the Runway had just started a year before, and they were, you know, quickly gaining traction as a really successful startup company in Manhattan. And the head of the creative department had posted on Facebook that they needed a full-time retoucher. And I'm not professionally trained in retouching, but the more you use Photoshop, like, the more you know how to do it. And I just would retouch some wedding photos if they needed a little something here or there. So they couldn't really afford to pay somebody that was professionally trained anybody anyway, because they were a startup company. So then they didn't have money for it. She posted on Facebook. My best friend saw it. I actually knew her through my best friend. And I went in for the interview, and, you know, longer story short, I ended up getting the job. So I did not have a plan. So the fact that I ended up as a professional retoucher at Rent the Runway is like completely serendipitous.
Okay, so that happened after you moved back. That wasn't already set up before you moved.
Not at all. Yeah, that happened after I moved back, by the grace of God.
And then in the meantime, you're still starting to build up the wedding business in New York.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was no way. Like, I don't even recall if at the time I had weddings booked to even... No, I didn't. My first wedding I shot alone was after I moved back to New York. I photographed my friend's wedding. Her and her husband met in Florida, and they got married by his childhood home in Charleston. Now, for me, it was the perfect situation to shoot a wedding alone, because they had a very low-key wedding. They probably spent $5,000 total on it. They got married right outside his childhood home on the water. It was totally a DIY wedding. And then they had a reception at, like, his parents' condo community's rental room downstairs. So when my good friend said, we'd like you to photograph our wedding, are you open to it? I said, sure, but I'm not going to charge you, because I don't know how the photos are going to come out.
Yes. Good to have a friend to start with.
Yeah, totally. She said, we've seen your photography. We're really confident in your capability. We're fine hiring you if you're fine shooting it. So I was, and I got a second photographer who still lives there. This was in 2010. I got a second photographer, and I said, look, I can't pay you because I'm not getting paid for this. But he had just moved to Charleston, and I was like, but you can block it, and, you know, for the SEO, and you can do whatever you want with the photos. You know, long story short. So, it worked out. But that was my first wedding. So that was actually after I moved back to New York. I flew to Charleston to photograph my friend's first wedding.
Did it go well?
Yeah, it actually went really well. I can't believe I shot it on, like, my Nikon D80, and I think I, like, bought a speed light right before for it.
So, okay, so then how did you start to transition then into, like, professional gear and shooting weddings for people who weren't friends?
Yeah, so because I had a salary at Rent the Runway, I was able to take the money that I made from weddings and pump it all back into photography equipment, which is the right way to do it. I was not about to charge anything on a credit card and pay it off later, because I was living at home to pay off credit card debt, which I did pay off in a year. Thank you, Mom and Dad.
And that's when you moved out, right? You said?
Yeah. I mean, I am not somebody who does well living with other people if I'm not in a relationship with you. So I moved out after a year. Yeah.
Where did you move to? Were you living in Manhattan or still close to where your parents were or are?
So I moved to Astoria, which is an area in Queens, which Queens is one of the five boroughs of New York. if anybody listening isn't familiar with New York City, Manhattan, which most people consider New York City or call the city, is actually one of five boroughs of New York City. So I lived right across the water on the Upper East Side in Astoria, and that was really because you could get so much more for your money, and I wanted to live alone. Like, I made it very clear to myself, you will live alone.
Yeah. And okay, and now we were talking a little bit about this. So you're growing, it's kind of just like word of mouth at this point, like you shoot a wedding for a friend, mm-hmm. and then they refer and you're slowly growing. What did the growth look like from the point where you're just starting to shoot for friends to the point where I remember you, I think it was when I visited you in New York and we sat down to lunch and you're like, I'm going full time or whatever. I don't remember where we were, but you're like, I'm doing it full time. What got you to the point where you, and I was telling you before, I think, oh my gosh, New York to me, it sounds so expensive, especially compared to Michigan where I live. So the mm-hmm. thought of jumping in full time sounds a little bit more scary there than it does somewhere where the cost of living is lower. Although I guess you can charge more for a wedding. I don't know. So what did it take to get you to that point where you're confident doing that? Like, tell me the series of events going from shooting a friend's wedding to actually being able to do it full time for yourself.
Yeah. So I shot a friend's wedding. The next wedding I shot was actually my college roommate's wedding. And I did charge her. I charged her for like the CD of images, which is funny to say, cause like, I don't even offer CDs anymore because I have two computers that don't even have CD drives anymore.
Same.
Yep. But I said, look, I have more experience now, and I'm totally happy to photograph your wedding. It was like 6 months after the first wedding I photographed alone. I have photographed other weddings, but alone. I think it's really responsible to second shoot and then be confident with backup equipment that you can shoot a wedding alone. I hear people jump into shooting weddings alone, and I just think twice about that. Yeah, so then I charged my roommate a few $100s. And then as it progressed, and, you know, I really think proof is in the pudding. You post photos and either they're good or they're not good. And it kind of like it matches what you can charge. And also your personality and level of service that you provide your clients and your couples should match what you're charging. Now, I agree with you. I think that there's more competition in New York, but there's also more people getting married in New York. And the cost of living is higher, which is why you can charge more, but it doesn't mean that your net profit at the end of the day is more. It just means that's what you need to make to survive. So I think just more and more, I started booking a lot of weddings, and I would, and at that point, at a certain point, I had everything I needed in my camera gear. I'm not a techie person. Like, I don't feel the need to buy so much gear and be up on the latest, you know, like I don't need to be up on the latest iPhone. That's not where I spend my money. So once I had all the camera gear, I wasn't spending money on that anymore. And I could just save and save and save. And for 2.5 years, and everybody at Rent the Runway knew that I had this wedding photography business. It was not a secret. You know, part of the reason that I knew working at Universal would never work for being a wedding photographer is because sometimes we had to work weekends because the job was just so demanding. So I knew that I didn't have to work weekends at Rent the Runway. I had my weekends off, which is when weddings are. I also did freelance retouching. So I would do freelance retouching at night for other companies, and it wasn't a conflict of interest because it wasn't the same business model as Rent the Runway. But I worked my ass off for 3 years, basically, doing three different jobs to be able to save enough money to quit. And, you know, I hear people now saying, I'm working so many jobs, and I'm like, cry me a river. That's right. What you have to do. If you want to do it, you do it. And if I had to go back to doing it, I would, because I love wedding photography. So the transition was slow. It was not an overnight thing. And you have to really want it and work towards it. And then eventually, yeah, like I had people saying to me, like, because it was a roller coaster working at Rent the Runway. They went through a lot of growing pains. By the time I left, they had hired 180 more employees than when I started. And yeah, they had like just such amazing growth. But on the flip side, behind the scenes, you go through a lot of growing pains with that. And I saw a lot of that. And just restructuring of the company and new bosses and new staff and all this stuff. So it was definitely a roller coaster. And there were times that I was like, I want to quit, but it wasn't financially responsible. So I really do feel good about it that I made sure I had X amount of money saved in a bank account that I didn't touch, that if I quit my job, I could survive for 1 year off of what I had in the bank in terms of rent, in terms of paying my student loans, which I'll be paying for the rest of my life, in terms of, you know, food and drink.
Was that your metric then, having the money saved in the bank versus having a set number of weddings booked, or was it some combination of the two?
Exactly. It was a combination of the two. So I had X amount of weddings on the calendar for the next year. It had to be, maybe it was like 15 to 20. And I think I was charging, don't quote me on this, but I think I was charging like somewhere at like $3,000. I don't know. So, I mean, I'll admit, like, I definitely bent my fee for weddings a little bit while I was working at Rent the Runway, because I knew that that would get me more weddings. The more I shot, the more weddings I would get from word of mouth, from the brides and grooms working with me, because I really do feel like I provide a stellar service to my couples. So hopefully that would, you know, make them want to brag about me more, which would make their friends hire me. So to get that, sometimes you need to be a little competitive in price.
What's the, do you have a sense for what's like, I don't know, the average, or what's the kind of attainable amount that people look for to spend in New York on weddings, on photography, sorry?
It's all across the board. Like, do you mean in terms of like what kind of wedding? Because the weddings can be anywhere in New York from like an elopement in Central Park to like, you know, 700 people at the Plaza Hotel.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I'm just wondering, because if $3,000 is low, where I feel like around here, actually $3,000 is probably, you know, pretty middle average for what people will spend just given the market. But then again, you can buy like a full house for $100,000 around here.
Yeah. So that would be impossible in New York. And I'm going to include New Jersey in that. So Northern New Jersey, New York is like the tri-state area. And a lot of New Jersey people live in Manhattan and get married in New Jersey. So I primarily still shoot in New York and New Jersey. I don't have a lot of weddings within New York City or Manhattan, especially because it costs a lot of money to get married there, never mind live there, which of course it does, but it costs a lot of money to get married there. And you have to also remember, like, that's taxable. So when a bride and groom are paying for the venue, there's tax on it. And the tax is high. So it's even higher. So they tend to get married, like, outside of New York City's bubble.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So, but now, I mean, had I known then what I know now, but you also can't charge $5,000 minimum for a wedding when you're just starting out. And, you know, I thought that I knew a lot, and I did, but like looking back now, it's not so much like the photos that I think has my photography improved for sure. Like I look back at the first two weddings that I photographed and I'm like, oh my God, I can only find like one photo I like from the wedding. But it's also a lot of stuff that like couples never see. Like I know a timeline like the back of my hand now, and that just comes from shooting wedding after wedding after wedding. And like I remember this February, I had a bride say to me, well, when we get back to the hotel after going out to the National Mall to take photos, I'm just going to go upstairs for 5 minutes and fix my hair and makeup. And I was like, no, you're not, because we're friends, so I can say this to her, but like I'm friends with all my brides, but like I said, no, you're not, because it's not 5 minutes, it's 20 minutes, and we're on a very tight schedule. So I, you know, she said, well, can my hair and makeup people come downstairs? And I said, yes, absolutely. And that comes with years of experience and having the confidence in your experience to say, no, you're not, you know? So, like, when I charge $3,000, that's probably what I deserved because of my experience. Now I have a minimum of $5,000 in New York, and cost of living goes up, for one. But also, like, your experience goes up. So I think, you know, to answer your long answer to your question about, like, is that the average of what people charge? I think that there's a difference in what people charge with the experience and also if they're doing it full-time or not. If they're not doing it full-time, like when I was working at Rent the Runway, yeah, I had a little bit of leeway. But it's kind of a trade-off, because then when I did it full-time, oh, my God, I learned so much more. And I just had more experience. So it came to the point where I had enough weddings on the books. I had enough saved in my bank account. And I reached a breaking point of saying to myself, I cannot keep doing all three jobs. I just need to take that leap. And for months before, people were saying to me, just quit, just quit, just quit. This killed me. I had a few people say to me, well, if you don't have enough money, like, can't your parents just help you out? And I think I hope a lot of people listening to this can relate to this. My parents do not have money to help me out. Like, we're not a wealthy family. They're trying to survive like the rest of everybody in the world. So, you know, and I'm proud of that. Like, every time I've made myself. My parents have not financially supported me since I left their house from high school. But no, I did not have parents that could support me if I jumped and I fell, you know?
Right. Except maybe like moving back in if you needed a place to go. But yeah, beyond,
exactly.
Like, they're not
going to
give
you
cash.
They were paying for their house anyway. Right. Yeah. Like, they could support me emotionally. They're amazing parents, and they completely have supported everything I've ever done. But if I couldn't pay my student loans, like, was I asking them for money? No, because they don't have the money to help me out that way. So, yeah, it was like a combination of everything, and it just reached a breaking point that I was like, okay, I quit. I'm quitting Rent the Runway.
And that was, how many years ago was that now?
That was in 2013?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I went to Japan, and I got back, and I quit.
Okay. And so now, as we're just catching up, you tell me another big move that you've just made. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So I just moved to Raleigh, North Carolina. So I like to say I am divided between North Carolina and New York now, which I am. The reason that I can do that is because I have family in New York. So, you know, full circle with the parent thing, and, you know, they have a big house and their kids don't really live there anymore.
So when you shoot there, you can stay with your parents.
Exactly. When I shoot in New York, I can stay with my parents. My sister has a guest room at her house with her family. So that's really why I was able to do this. I like taking the path less traveled. You know, everything was going fantastically well in New York. So I thought, let's leave, because I'm an idiot. So
let's go. Okay. And a lot of people do this. I started in Chicago and I moved to Michigan. A lot of people move and it's tough. You know, of course, it is a local thing for the most part where you build your business, you get word of mouth and you get to be known in that area and you build your presence, you build your brand, you build your website around that. So how did you start preparing before you left, or how did you start? Mm-hmm. How did you do that?
Yeah. So for a while, I knew that I didn't want to be in New York anymore. I'm from New York. I don't have this dream of wanting to live in New York and make it in New York. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, which I think is true. But I didn't have that dream. So I kind of felt like, oh, I'm living home. Like, I'm living in my hometown where I grew up. And I wasn't, because I didn't grow up in New York City, but I grew up in Long Island and it's like 30 minutes away.
I think that's the first time I've heard someone say, like, oh, I'm back in my hometown in New York
City. Right. Exactly. But see, I'm like such an oddball. But it was great. I think like everybody should live in New York at one point in their lives if they want to. It's such an amazing experience. And I still love my friends that I made there. And my friends were totally different than like, they weren't my high school friends that were living in the city. Sure, I saw them once in a while, but like my friends were in the wedding industry and they still are there and I adore them just because we can relate and commiserate about things. So, you know, wedding planners and bloggers and, you know, one of my friends runs a business renting bridal accessories. Another one runs resells bridal gowns. Anyway, it's just an amazing conglomeration of everybody in the wedding industry and I love them, but I just didn't want to stay there forever. And I'm 32 now, and I decided, like, what was it, 30, 31, that I wanted to move somewhere else. I didn't know where. So it was like an anywhere but here syndrome. So I had many conversations with my best friend, who was like my soulmate, my soul sister, and she was like, well, do you want to move back to Orlando? And I was like, no, because I'm worried that the same thing's going to happen. I don't know a lot of people getting married there. It's not really like the 20-something-year-old about to be wedding mecca of the world. And I don't want to get into like the Disney bride thing, even though I love Disney and I love brides. So anyway, the answer to that was no. And I also worried if I went back there, if anybody listening was like thinking of going back to where they kind of were before. One of my worries was that if I was there, I'd start being upset that I wasn't in theme park design again, because all my friends there are still in that. So So I didn't like kind of want to have that temptation when I know in my heart I'm really happy and love what I do now. Yeah, so I came to Raleigh kind of like totally, it's amazing how like paths of life take you different directions. But I had a couple that hired me to photograph their Disney cruise wedding. And because financial reasons, had to get married instead in Raleigh, North Carolina, where they lived. And I said, yes, of course, I'll still do your wedding. And ended up coming, longer story short, and stayed for another day just to see the area because I travel a lot and like exploring. And I loved it. I ended up like trying to contemplate, should I change my flight to go home later? I met some really cool people here. And I kind of like felt like I could see myself living here, not as a tourist, but like because I found that group of people that I was hanging out with. So then I went home and I was kind of like, oh my God, what about Raleigh? So started like looking, I like literally started Googling moving from New York to Raleigh, North Carolina, and like secretly. And then I thought like in my head, okay, I'm going to make this move. Not telling anybody. And then I probably told my best friend that I was thinking about it just as a sounding board. And then I think my parents maybe were the last people I told just because I was worried. I don't know why looking back because like they really do always support everything I do. And my dad doesn't even want to live in New York. Meanwhile, he's lived his whole life in New York and he's in his 60s. But once I told my parents, I'm moving to Raleigh, which it might have been, I made two other trips to Raleigh after that wedding in February, once in April and once in September to look at apartments. And I didn't really tell anybody. I still, like, people still say to me, wait, you moved? Because I didn't want to go away party. It's not like a big announcement. I think on social media, I look like a really public person. But I actually am kind of private. Like, if you're really good friends with me, you know, like, things that I don't put on Facebook or anything. I really do social media for business success. And the reason I post personal photos to my personal page on Facebook is so people think there's a difference between my personal page and my public page for my business. But I started getting in touch with wedding pros in Raleigh, like, immediately. So that probably happened in March, because February is a short month. So once I came down in April, I met with a couple of wedding people. I try to be really smart in that way. So I wanted to like kind of get a feel for the wedding industry and just some opinions. And overall, it was like really positive. People were like, oh my God, a New York wedding photographer in Raleigh. Like a lot of people in Raleigh are from New York. There are a lot of Northerners here. They would love a New York photographer here. So I think after that April trip, I like told my parents. And once my parents knew, like it was pretty real. So I like worked towards what it would mean to move. And, you know, like you said, how did I make those connections? It's still slow and steady wins the race for me in this arena. I am booked on purpose. I am booked for the year, somewhere between 20 and 30. I haven't counted. I think it's really unhealthy to like count the number all the time, but I'm booked with somewhere between 20 and 30 weddings for the year. And they're pretty much all up north. And that's on purpose because I wanted to be sure that I was working this year. And I always want to shoot in New York and New Jersey because it gives me a reason to go back home. And another reason why this was a feasible move for me was because I have family in Baltimore and D.C., which is kind of a halfway point in the drive up north. So I was like really excited that I would get to see that family more often too, who I'm very close with. So like literally if I'm driving up today, I could call them and just say, hey, can I sleep over tonight? And I have keys to their house and everything. And I'll see them whenever they get home.
Nice. How long is the drive?
It's a 10-hour drive.
10 hours. Okay.
Yeah, it's a 10-hour drive. And it's about 5 hours to D.C. and about 6 hours to Baltimore. Of course, you have to be smart about when you drive because traffic closer to New York is a nightmare. But yeah, so that was another reason it was feasible. But yeah, so I'll be in New York like half of July, all of August when I'm not in Europe for a wedding, all of September, literally all of September. I think I have 5 weddings in September,
so
all
stay.
In New York. Yeah. And and half of October, which is fine with me. And that was my choice. And I love Raleigh. I really do. So when people say, hey, you moved to Raleigh, I'm kind of like, well, I'm in Raleigh and North Carolina. Raleigh, North Carolina, And I'm also in New York, which is true. Like, I'm not lying to them. People say, do you still have your apartment in New York? And that was, like, one of the hardest things for me to give up. Any New Yorker who has to give up a really good real estate situation would know that. So that was, like, the most painful part. I was like, if I leave this apartment, I'm never coming back because I won't be able to afford it. So when you move out of a rent-controlled apartment, they obviously, like, raise the rent, like, $300 for the next person. But, like, that was not a reason to stay, you know? And I'm not, like, independently wealthy. I'm not, like, totally banking from weddings that I can rent two apartments in two different cities. And I don't need to because I have family there. So I'm really lucky and fortunate. But I do feel like I set up the situation for myself. I travel a lot. And when people, like, see my travel schedule online or just see photos posted on Instagram, they're like, oh, my God, like, I want your life. And I'm like, you know what? You could have my life. I built this life for myself.
Yeah. And you took some risks. You definitely took some leaps of faith to get there.
Oh, my God. 100%. Like, it really helped every time somebody said to me, I give you a lot of credit for just picking up and moving. Because people said to me, like, do you have a boyfriend in Raleigh? Like, why are you moving to Raleigh? Is there somebody there? And, like, you know, the feminist in me was like, F you. Like, no. But I know why people were saying that. Like, it's a safer move if you have some emotional support in the area. And no, like, I didn't have any of that. So the people who knew that, that said to me, I give you so much credit for moving, actually really helped me, because there were days that I just, like, cried and I thought I was crazy. And, like, when you're packing up your apartment by yourself and, like, it is a grueling process. And I have a lot of stuff, unfortunately. I have a lot of stuff, but, like, I think I packed, like, over 90 boxes. I know two people right now moving from Brooklyn to St. Louis, and she's like, oh my God, what the hell did you have? We have 40 boxes. I'm like, I know. but you also have to remember, I lived in Florida before I moved to New York. So, like, I had a whole townhouse with my ex in Florida. So that's part of why I accumulated a lot of stuff. And I still have all that scrapbooking stuff that I've cut down on, but, like, can't let go on. Yeah.
Yeah,
don't make reading cards and stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So you're basically, you're kind of taking your time. It's a really cool situation where you can change it up. You can start to build the relationships in North Carolina and then also go back. That's really nice. So are you finding yourself, are you becoming friends with the wedding community in Raleigh? And are you finding, like, I know you work with second shooters. Are you finding a community of people where you can have someone who's kind of dedicated to that, or at least somebody who can, people you can draw on for that as you build?
I think a lot of things are, like, kind of working in my favor being here. And that's just knowing my personality. If somebody has a really outgoing personality and they know they're not an introvert and a recluse and, like, can go out and meet people, like, I would say that really helps in making a move like this. I don't have a problem going to a bar alone and sitting at the bar and saying hi to the person next to me. I think a lot of that comes from, like, traveling alone in Europe, where it's so not taboo to sit at a bar alone, whereas, like, in America, it kind of is. Like, if you see somebody sitting alone at a table eating dinner, you're like, oh, I feel so bad for that person. Or, like, maybe they want to be alone because they can't deal with, like, anybody else in that moment, you know, or, like, their wife is annoying them. So they're like, oh my God, I just want to eat dinner alone. And it's, like, their moment of peace. So I don't have a problem being alone at all. So I'm just saying that because it comes into play in terms of reaching out to wedding vendors. So I also made sure that I was set up, like I said, with weddings for the year. And I think this works in my favor too, that I am not hungry. I'm not, like, starving for weddings in Raleigh, which means I don't need to sell my soul to book them, which means that people look at me like, she must be doing something right. Like, why wouldn't we look into hiring her? Because this is what she charges. I heard, like, a South Dakota Creative Live lately that said, like, you know, if you charge a lot, people perceive you as, like, a luxury vendor. And I think that's true. Like, I'm not saying, like, I start at $8,000 now because people will know that I'm a really high-end photographer if that's what I charge. Like, not at all. I'm charging what I deserve. And I also knew that I would have to charge less in Raleigh. So, yes, I have two different prices. If you contact me for a tri-state area wedding, it is significantly more than if you contact me for a Raleigh, North Carolina wedding.
And you have to travel to go to New York anyway, so there is more cost involved.
Right.
And it's just the market.
I also made the decision that I don't tell people that. And I'm actually, and, you know, maybe this changes over time, but I actually don't charge more to travel to New York because my theory is it's not my couple's responsibility that I move to Raleigh, you know? So like that was like kind of my decision. And you know, just a side note, like a lot of people ask me, how do you shoot weddings in other cities and other countries so much? And I don't. I do like one or two a year. But it's because they come to me with a number and I either say I can work with this number or I can't. So it's like a lot of saying yes and agreeing to kind of like bundle the travel in and figure out myself how to get there. So whether I book a flight for $200 to $400 and that takes away from my bottom line and that's a conscious decision, or I drive there, like that's on me. I've never been late to a wedding. I've never not been at a wedding. So yeah. So in Raleigh, I have that working in my advantage that I don't need weddings this year right now. So I'm charging what I think I deserve. I mean, every day I'm kind of like, should I go with this kind of collections or should I go with this? I call packages collections. But I also needed friends. So, like one of my good friends in Raleigh now is this girl, Heather, who is a floral designer. She has her own company called Eclectic Sage. And, you know, I have half purple hair. I dye my hair half purple. And, I am the kind of person that I really value good design and artistry. So if I go on a website and it sucks, like I'm off of it. And I don't even want to contact that vendor because I think it says a lot about them and their business. But I went to Heather's website. I forgot how I found it. Like a lot of how I found vendors was looking up a Raleigh hashtag or Raleigh weddings hashtag on social media, or some Googling. No, not even Googling. I think I went on like Style Me Pretty and searched Raleigh, North Carolina weddings. And I would look to see who the vendors were, click all those links, and then see if, like, it was somebody I thought I could work with or wanted to know. And, like, I have very genuine intent. Like, I'm not slimy. I'm not doing, like, a used car salesman pitch. Like, I just want to get to know these people and the industry. And I won't work with somebody who I think has amazing work if their personality doesn't jive with mine. Like, I'll still admire their work, but it doesn't mean we're a good fit. So I started reaching out to vendors that way. And Heather's website was awesome. And then I saw in her profile photo that she had purple hair also. And I emailed her and I was like, hey, I think we might get along.
Oh, and you guys have become good friends.
Yeah, and we've become really good friends. And she's actually from Raleigh and had said, like, you know, I actually don't have a lot of good girlfriends here because she, you know, she has a very serious boyfriend and they live together. But people tend to get married a little younger in the South, which means they have kids a little earlier. So they are kind of like wrapped up in their families, which is fine and totally respectable. But as a result, like if you don't have kids and you don't have a family, like you're kind of like not friendly, as friendly with those people anymore. So she was kind of like, I really would love some girlfriends here that like, you know, could hang out with more. And it's just like a double bonus for us that we're both in the same industry. And, you know, I've done that with a couple people here who I really love. So like when I go out socially with like girlfriends now, it's kind of like the same thing as New York, which I adore. It's just people in the industry that I've reached out to. And I mean, it is smart to reach out to wedding planners and event planners because, as we all know, a couple hires them usually before the photographer. In New York, I find that people don't hire wedding planners as much because it's an expense that they can cut out, which is totally another conversation for another day. But in the South, they hire them more often, I think, for the level of service that I'm providing and charging for. It kind of matches the wedding planners down here more than New York. So I think, like, in New York, if you're hiring a wedding planner, like, your photography probably starts at $10,000. I am not in that category at all. I have friends that are. Again, another conversation for another day. I don't currently aspire to be in that category for a lot of reasons, but down here, it's kind of more normal to hire a wedding photographer if your budget's even smaller, and I just kind of fit into that. So I have some conversations going with couples that are getting married this year and next year for the area. My goal is to book two weddings here this year. I'm working on it. I just booked a proposal for this weekend in downtown Raleigh that I'm really excited about, and, you know, plan on going above and beyond to hopefully have them keep me top of mind when they're looking for a wedding photographer. But I'm kind of like going with the mind of slow and steady wins the race, but I'm also being like very strategic with who I reach out to and sending, you know, I feel like I really love a challenge, and I really love busting my ass for what I am so passionate about, and it doesn't feel like work. What's that quote? Like, if you find something you love doing, you'll never work a day in your life. And that's kind of how I feel. I work my ass off on this. I'm constantly blogging, or, you know, and I blog for SEO. I don't blog because I'm obsessed with blogging. I'm not. Or, you know, reaching out to people, or getting coffee with somebody new, or working on a style shoot that I did yesterday in Raleigh. And, you know, that was because I did a style shoot in Raleigh yesterday that the owners of this, or the two women who run this venue, approached me to do it. And I was so flattered. But at the same time, like, I met a florist here. We hit it off. She's from the north. She's awesome. And she told me she knew these girls that run this venue, and I'd been following the venue online for a long time. So I asked her to introduce me to these girls. Had I never asked her, this never would have happened. But, like, people aren't looking to give you a handout, and it's not because they're not friendly and want to see you succeed. It's because a lot of people just aren't networkers. So I had to specifically say to her, can you introduce me to these girls? She did. And then one of the girls was like, oh my God, I follow you on Instagram. We'd love to work with you. Do you want to do this shoot with us? And I was like, absolutely. So you have to really be proactive. Like, you cannot sit back and be a wallflower. Like, you need to get out there and hustle again. But I think that's, like, kind of what keeps you alive and keeps you inspired and motivated. And, like, it's really exciting. And then, like, you know, now I have two markets, or I will eventually. And that's, like, pretty awesome too.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many good things here. And I feel like I have so many other questions I could ask you. But I think we're at something like 45 or 50 minutes. So I will, let's go ahead and kind of wrap it up with, gosh, and maybe you've already answered this, but just kind of summarizing, what do I want to do? A resource or a quote? What would you rather do? A favorite resource or a favorite just like piece of advice?
A favorite? I don't know if I have a favorite resource. I don't know if that would be good, because I don't really think I have. Wait, what's yours?
See, I don't have an answer to that question. I think it's just the community. I think it's being really active, both in the community and on, like, forums where I can just post questions about things.
Yeah.
And get inspired. Do you go to, like, one conference a year, or, like, some kind of event? I know you were talking about an event that you went to.
Yeah, I went to Field Trip, actually, this year, and I stopped WPPI and did the XR and do classes. And I actually think that's really important to keep yourself invigorated and inspired. I also actually think, like, maybe this is the good advice, and it kind of is more wide-reaching and encompasses all of the wedding industry. You need to really network.
Yeah, that's it. I think you're right.
Yay!
Well, let's wrap it up at that. Michaela, thank you. This was fun. I mean, it was kind of just having a conversation with a friend, so it was good to hear parts of your story.
You want to talk and record it. I'm going to call you now. You're going to be like, hold on, I need to press record.
If you liked this interview, I'd love for you to leave a review on iTunes so others can find it. Next week on the podcast, Michael Currier has a passion for live theater, and he makes a living as a performance and event photographer.
Even in the moments where I wake up and I'm still kind of struggling to either find the client or feel happy with some of my work that I'm doing, I would not trade it in for anything.